there or be a rectangular thing," said Cliff. "I don't understand that." "There's dozens of these rolls in here," said Glod. "They are posters. You know what that means. He's been having them stuck up in places. Talking of which, when the Musicians' Guild get hold of us..."
"Music's free," said Buddy. "It has to be free."
"What?" said Glod. "Not in this dwarf's town."
"Then it should be," said Buddy. "People shouldn't have to pay to play music."
"Right, that boy is right. That's just what I've always said. Isn't that what I've always said? That's what I've said right enough."
Dibbler emerged from the shadows in the wings. There was a troll with him, who Buddy surmised must have been Chrysoprase. He wasn't particularly big or even craggy. In fact, he had a smooth and glossy look to him, like a pebble found on a beach. There wasn't a trace of lichen anywhere. And he was wearing clothes. Clothes other than uniforms or special work clothes weren't normally a troll thing. Mostly they were a loincloth to keep stuff in, and that was that. But Chrysoprase had a suit on. It looked badly tailored. It was, in fact, very well tailored, but even a troll with no clothes on looks fundamentally badly tailored. Chrysoprase had been a very quick learner when he arrived in Ankh-Morpork. He began with an important lesson. Hitting people was thuggery. Paying other people to do the hitting on your behalf was good business.
"I like you lads to meet Chrysoprase," said Dibbler. "An old friend of mine. Me and him go way back. That right, Chrys?"
"Indeed."
Chrysoprase gave Dibbler the warm, friendly smile a shark bestows on a haddock, with whom it suits it for now to swim in the same direction. A certain play of silicon muscles in the corners also suggested that one day certain people would regret. Chrys.
"Mr. Throat tells me yous boys is the best thing since slicing bread," he said. "Yous got everything yous need?"
They nodded mutely. People tended not to speak to Chrysoprase in case they said something that offended him. They wouldn't know it at the time, of course. They'd know it later, when they were in some dark alley and a voice behind them said, "Mr. Chrysoprase is really upset."
"Yous go and rest up in your dressing room," he went on. "Yous wants any food or drink, yous only got to say."
He'd got diamond rings on his fingers. Cliff couldn't stop staring at them. The dressing room was next to the privies and half full of beer barrels. Glod leaned on the door.
"I don't need the money," he said. "Just let me get out of here with my life. That's all I ask."
"You won't have to worry," Cliff began.
"You're trying to speak with your mouth shut, Cliff," said Buddy.
"I said, you don't have to worry. You got the wrong sort of teeth," said the troll.
There was a knock on the door. Cliff slammed his hand back over his mouth, but the knock turned out to belong to Ashvelt, who was carrying a tray. There were three types of beer. There were even smoked rat sandwiches with the crusts and tails cut off. And there was a bowl of finest anthracite coke with ash on it.
"Crunch it up good," moaned Glod, as Cliff took his bowl. "It may be the last chance you get."
"Maybe no one'll turn up and we can go home," said Cliff.
Buddy ran his fingers over the strings. The others stopped eating as the chords filled up the room.
"Magic," said Cliff, shaking his head.
"Don't you boys worry," said Ashvelt. "If there are any problems, it's the other guys who get it in the teeth."
Buddy stopped playing.
"What other guys?"
"Funny thing," said the little troll. "Suddenly everyone's playing music with rocks in it. Mr. Dibbler's signed up another band for the concert too, to kind of warm it up."
"Who?"
"It's called Insanity," said Ashvelt.
"Where are they?" said Cliff.
"Well, put it like this. You know how your dressing room is next to the privy?"
Crash, behind the cavern's raggedy curtain, tried to tune his guitar. Several things got in the way of this simple procedure. Firstly, Blurt had realised what his customers really wanted, and praying forgiveness from his ancestors had spent more time gluing on bits of glittery stuff than he had on the actual functioning sections of the instrument. To put it another way, he'd knocked in a dozen nails and tied the strings to them. But this wasn't too much of a problem because Crash himself had the musical talent of a blocked nostril. He looked at Jimbo, Noddy and Scum. Jimbo, now the bass player, Blurt giggling hysterically had used a bigger lump of wood and some fence wire, was holding up his hand hesitantly.
"What is it, Jimbo?"
"One of my guitar strings is broke."
"Well, you got five more, ain't you?"
"Yeah, but I doesn't know how to play them, like."
"You didn't know how to play six, right? So now you're a bit less ignorant."
Scum peered around the curtain.
"Crash."
"Yes?"
"There's